Hey, everybody, welcome back to Matt and Dwight Just Might, a podcast about two Midwest-based comedians who are trying to figure it out as they make their way through life, comedy, and everything in between. My name is Matt Alano Martin. With me, as always, is the very handsome, dare I say, dapper Dwight Simmons. Dwight, how are you today?
I am okay, Matt. I've never been called dapper in a
Really?
hoodie, not in a hoodie,
Okay.
but I appreciate it. I appreciate it. It feels good. I have a grooming session with myself later. That's not
Okay.
how I wanted to say that. I really wanted to say I'm going to shave my head and probably touch my beard,
Yeah.
but
You didn't want
grooming
to,
session with myself feels after dark. Matt and Dwight after dark.
Yeah, the grooming session is where it's like the old question, like if you could talk to your 10-year-old self, but you're just going to groom your 10-year-old self. You're going to Is it molestation if it's yourself? If
If
it's
it's me.
Yeah.
Oh man, the time, what a weird way to use time travel.
Yep, and also to open the podcast. It was a
We're
weird way to
back.
do both of those things. Yeah.
We're back. We're firing on all cylinders. Your beard is coming back in very nicely.
Thank God. Thank God, man. I've shaved my beard off enough in the last couple of years that I know what to expect, but it's always, I still will see video of myself from the last couple of weeks and I'm just like, I look like just a
Can't use
talking,
that.
like I just look like a talking pile of mashed potatoes is what my face looks like. Just like sort of, there's like, is there one chin? Is there two chins? Is there one and a half chins? What's going on there? And then just
That is
everything about it, man, is not great. So I need to throw back the distraction beard ASAP.
The talking pile of mashed potatoes is what you're going to call your next album, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah. You know, like we're going to try and get that, that Idaho money. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my
Like,
God. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do it big out in Idaho.
Yeah.
Or so I've heard.
Yeah. Well, that's like the Greg Warren, where he does an entire hour on peanut butter, or I mean, maybe it's not an entire hour, but he has a huge thing. I think he did an hour on peanut butter or something like, yeah.
Imagine having the
Dedication.
focus. Yeah. The dedication and the not desire to want to jump off of a bridge. You're
I'm
doing
sure
a whole
he had
hour
it
on
as
one
like
subject.
a writing exercise of sorts. You know, if
Yeah.
you were to write about a single subject for an hour, if you had to do a one-man show or themed hour of comedy, what would be the topic that you would pick?
It's so funny that you brought this up because I last week had the idea that I want to do an entire hour on the service industry.
Really?
And so I started the outline for what that would look like. I grew up in a house with a chef, so I kind of have that background. My first job was a, you know, dishwasher in a kitchen. I've served, I bartended, and I served through COVID. So I thought, like, that's a very dense topic that
Yeah.
I could write a shit ton about
Yeah.
and come at it from a lot of different angles.
Hell yeah, dude. You
I go
could.
out to eat a lot. I
You go out to eat
watch,
now. You get that from the customer side of it
I
too.
watch comedy club servers struggle for like very little appreciation. Like I
Just like
go,
comedy club comedians. Yeah, sometimes.
No compensation, no appreciation, no taxation. Pay your taxes, everybody.
Without representation.
Yeah, that's us. That's what
Yeah,
this
that's
is called.
yeah, yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
no
Yeah, every
representation
time
on
we
this
have to pay
podcast.
our taxes on comedy to the IRS, every time we send our tax check in for the money we made on comedy, we should write taxation without representation.
Yeah.
And then in parentheses, we don't mean you guys. We don't mean like, never mind. You guys,
Yeah.
You don't get it. It's fine. It's all
This
right.
is what I named my clip that I sent in to JFL
Yeah.
again this year. So.
I think that's a great idea. And I think that if you were to do a vinyl pressing, side one could be front of house, side two could be back of house. I don't know if you want to structure it like that, but that's just something that came to, yeah. I've
I love
watched The
that.
Bear. I've watched The Bear. I
Oh,
know that
yeah.
terminology. I know.
Oh, yeah. I got to get ripped like Jeremy Allen White, pull this
Yeah.
off, maybe get an underwear deal.
Sure.
I go back in time, self groom myself for this exact moment.
Yep.
You're
Yep. You
preparing
need to
your
be
whole life for
sexier.
this.
You need to be sexier. You need to be doing sit-ups and you need to just be sexier. Yeah.
Just need to, what about you? Where are
If
you
I was
coming at
to
this from?
write an entire hour themed around one thing, I think it would be whether or not these people be fucking in the front row. That's, I would do an hour.
That's a viral hit right there.
Yeah. And now the thing is, like, the front row is going to have to be very wide and long. I'm going to just basically just go down the line and to be like, y'all fucking. And it, so it's like almost more like a survey, really. It's so yeah. something that I'll be doing for the Kinsey Institute.
How many act outs are involved? Like, I just imagine, like, let's say you break one stool and you have you have someone else bring you out. Oh,
I'm breaking
stool.
A stool for every couple.
You, like, you, y'all is, be fucking like this.
This be fun. Yeah. And then, like, it's, I'm pile driving it onto the stage. I'm throwing it up into the air, trying to catch it with my dick, and it breaks, you know. Some of these will be prop stools. They will break away very easily. But yeah, so it's also going to be a world record, Guinness World Record. The most stools humped into splinters by a comedian in a single show. So I'm excited. I can't wait to start working on it.
That's going straight to Madison Square Garden. I don't know how much Sirius XM play it'll get, but visually, I can see
visually,
it.
Visually, yeah, exactly. Well, that's why I'm going to skip Sirius XM for that one and just go right to like the Apple headset, the VR headset for that one. So you can select. You can select to be in the front row with me talking to you. You can select to be from my point of view. Or you can select to be the stool. You know, you have three options. You can watch the special three different times.
Oh, that's the VIP ticket.
Yeah, there you go.
If you choose the stool, you're on stage with them. Getting all that.
Catch these hips. You know what I'm saying?
What's the training regimen? It's just I'm hip lifts.
Yep. I'm going to the gym and doing that thing where you put your shoulders on the bench and you have the bar across your crotch and you're lifting up. Trying not to look like a fucking pervert in the middle of Planet Fitness and you're
making
just
eye
like,
contact.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and you just have to be like, I'm just doing this for my lower back and my butt, everybody. I'm not trying to be like a fuck master or whatever is implied by that one, you know. That everyone talks about the leg machines that you squeeze together or squeeze apart. Everybody's like, oh, that's the most sexual, the abductor. Yeah. Uh-huh. Everyone talks about how like that's the most sexual. No, it's not.
Not the one where you're literally laying down, air humping a bar into a mirror, making
into
eye
a
contact.
Mirror. Yep.
It's such an awkward thing to be next to that person because you don't know what to do with your own eyeballs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I want to look at this just out of what the fuck is going on.
Now, you just
want to
check their form, make sure that they're doing it right. You know,
see if they need a spotter.
If you need, how do you spot that particular workout? Do you go under the butt? You just put the hand under the booty?
No.
Are you, you're over
your crotch over their head.
Oh, okay.
So you can get the bar.
So then you can reach down. Okay. Yeah. So it's the old, it's like a 69 spotting position.
It is.
Okay, good. 100%. All right.
The gym is a wild place now.
It is. Man, I've been slowly going back to the gym, not as much as I should. I went yesterday and did legs and abs. And it really is, you know, Planet Fitness is, particularly in Bloomington, where you only have one Planet Fitness, it is just jam-packed all the time. And so you do run into that thing of, like, I literally can't look anywhere without somebody thinking that I'm looking at them working out.
Yeah.
There's a guy that I used. Well, first of all, I don't think this is why this guy does this. There is a guy about my age who shows up in street clothes and he gets on the exercise bike and he just rides very slowly on the exercise bike. No judgment. Hell yeah, dude. Probably, you know, recovering from a heart attack or some shit. Right. But he's just working. But he also wears sunglasses, like wrap around sunglasses inside the entire time. And it's like, he's got to be creeping on people. Right. Like, he's using that to creep.
You got to find a new gym. You got to find a new gym. That sounds like a ticking time bomb.
You don't like Planet Fitness? Come on, Doc.
No, I don't like the dude
you like
in
the
street
Aldi's,
clothes.
The Aldi's of
in his,
gyms.
I don't like the guy in his trench coat on the exercise bike with tinted goggles like he's playing NBA 2K in 99.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like Horace Grant, but he's there to work out.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
He's but I'm
your
just saying
your pictures are like, gonna end up on a Reddit or like a subreddit for Bloomington.
I mean, I've wanted to take pictures of him before, but also, you know, he might have a gun on too. Like, he's also seems like the kind of guy that would be on the exercise bike with a gun in his holster that he's got a license to carry. Because America, freedom, it's gonna fall off and kill me. It's gonna shoot and kill me probably.
Yeah, I like, you know, it's the safest place because no judgment, no rules, right? At Planet Fitness. And
That's
he's
true.
Like, let's see how far we can push this.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. We'll see. I don't know. But I do like it when he's there because I do feel like no one thinks I'm the creep just because of my age and being a man. And then all these college girls are in there working out. It's like it really is a thing. Like I'm trying not to look at anybody. I'm trying to just like, stare at the fucking TV or whatever while I'm working out just to like I don't want people to think I'm creeping, But
Do
it's nice
you
when they have a creep magnet there. And everybody's like, because they're all like for their own safety, like checking in on that dude, like constantly, like, is he fucking looking at me? Is he like, is there a red dot? Is there a red dot on me? What's going on?
It's distracting. It's
Yeah.
distracting. Check yourself. Wear your body armor.
Yep. Yeah.
Wear
Work
your
out in your
vest.
body armor. Yep.
But this is a hot start. This is
Yeah, I was
good.
gonna say this is the most riffing we've done on this podcast in like all 54 episodes or
I
whatever, I
fucking
think.
love it.
Yeah,
It's great.
we're juiced up, we're ready to go.
I'm juiced. Fresh out the gym, baby. I'm juiced up.
So where were you last weekend? Let's get into the actual comedy talk. Where were you last weekend, Dwight?
Oh, good gravy, man. I came
You're
off
not
of
ready for
a
this
week
question.
off. No, I was ready.
Okay.
I came off of a week off of not doing anything and then had a bunch of stuff to do, it felt like. On Wednesday, I did a commercial shoot for a tea company
Nice.
where I was drinking iced tea out of a bottle in slow motion. But they wanted me to actually do the action of tilting my head back and chugging it.
So
And
wait. So were they shooting it in high
it's
speed so
like
when it slowed down it would be slowed down, or did you have to
it's video and still. And
Okay.
so they're like trying different things. They're gonna slow it down, but they want the actual action. So standing outside drinking this iced tea, very good iced tea, by the way. And I
They're not
finally
listening
like
to you. You
I
don't have to say that. They're not listening.
no, it was delicious. I was like,
Okay.
this is easy to this is and I looked down at the bottle, finally look at the nutrition facts. 55 grams of sugar
Well,
per
that's why it was so
bottle.
good. Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
no shit. I don't drink sugar like that. I don't eat sugar like that. And I had a show to do that night. I'm like, I'm gonna be a jazzed up motherfucker.
Yeah.
So I did that, and then I had a show. I drove to Nashville, Indiana, to the Sycamore Saloon. Their first
Nice.
time having a show. That was Valentine's Day. Beautiful venue. Nashville, Indiana, it's Brown County, Indiana, middle of nowhere, driving the Prius. It gets tumultuous very quickly on the drive. Like, you got to drive up this 45-degree incline to actually get to the venue. Gas the Prius up. We made it. We did all right. The show was sold out.
Fantastic.
It was so understaffed, dude. Like,
Oh no,
so.
not good.
They're doing a Valentine's Day dinner. So the people come early, like 6:30. They're supposed to get their dinner. They're supposed to get like a drink and then be done with dinner by the time the show starts at 8.
Oh
I
no.
get there. I took a shower and everything. Get back to the venue at like 7:45. I could just feel the vibe of like angry patrons. Like,
Yeah,
people
because
are
they still haven't
mad.
gotten their food yet, and
I get the bartender is getting her ass, she's like 60. She's the only one behind the bar serving probably 120 people. And the servers are just like frantic. The first couple I talked to at the bar, I'm like, oh, it's kind of busy in here. And the woman's just like, oh, she forgot to put in our order. I was like, God damn it. This is going to be real bad. So it's supposed to be a two-man show. We didn't have a host. We had a feature. They decided to let a guy from the kitchen come out and host the show.
He's already fucking in the weeds. He should be fucking getting those orders out, and they have him come out and host the show.
Dude, first time on stage.
Oh
His
my
name was
God.
Sycamore Sam. Sycamore
Okay.
Sam.
So they
He's
named a
wearing a
saloon
cowboy.
after him. Okay,
Yeah,
that's
he's
good.
wearing a cowboy hat, covered in tattoos, sweating, nervous. Like, here's a hot tip. If you've never hosted a show before or been on stage, don't go first. And I was like, hey man, listen, I can bring you up. He's like, no, we got to get started. Like, I'll just go up, I'll tell a couple jokes, and then he's like, I've watched it before, I know what I'm doing. And I can see the sweat dripping from his fucking cowboy hat.
Now, do you think the sweat is because he was just came out of the kitchen, or do you think it was because of the stress?
He doesn't strike me as a guy that gets stressed when he's in the weeds at work.
Okay. Well, I'm just talking about the temperature of the kitchen.
No, I understand. Yeah. He pulled off his hat and he was like, I'm sweating. He's like, I'm nervous. So he goes up. It's like kind of buffet style seating where half the audience has their back turned, but they're just like a lot of people are just now getting their food. So he goes up and the audience doesn't even like acknowledge his existence. And then he proceeds.
Maybe for the better. I don't know.
Yes, for the better. He proceeds to tell two of the most racist street jokes.
Okay.
I've ever heard.
And he had just met you, right? Like he saw.
Yeah, I mean they weren't against black people. They're against...
Oh, okay, that's fine. All right, okay, good.
I will say I'm not going to repeat them on here, but they both had to do with the border crisis.
Oh my god! I'm sure that's exactly how he framed it. He framed it very nuanced, as in referring to it as the border crisis, this complex issue.
Yeah.
Wow. And let me guess, he killed with those two racist ass jokes. And
the audience was like, what the fuck? They hated him.
Oh, good. That had to like make you happy, because whenever that happens,
I know,
like, whether it's an open mic or whatever, and an audience is like, fuck that. You're like, it gives you hope. You're like, all right, okay, cool.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So they hated him. I think it really, they really fucked over the feature.
Mm-hmm.
Starting in a giant hole.
They're already pissed off because they haven't gotten their food and their drinks are backed up. And then they have to, the first thing they see on stage is that. So they got to be just thinking, this is the worst Valentine's Day of our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Brian Smiley. He was the feature that weekend or that night. Mm-hmm. The Sycamore Sam comes back to me and I'm in the back of the room and he goes, oh, that was rough. I was like, you're up there for 90 seconds, dude. Yeah. I was like, what do you want me to say? I'm usually like, you'll get them next time. But I was just like,
yeah.
What, man? Like, what do you want me to say, dude? Yeah, it's going to be a rough
one. Yeah, it was rough, yeah.
Brian had no shot. He had no shot because they were eating. People were going to the bar to check on their drinks. It was just like chaos. Mm-hmm. People just not paying attention. He got about 15 minutes in and he started to coalesce him. He started to get a little bit more loose, started to like comment on the room a little bit, started to make fun of the situation, which they started to like. My set was just a hodgepodge of crowd work. And it was wild because I started by saying, give it up for your one bartender.
Yeah,
and your two servers and the kitchen staff, they are working their asses off to the most lackluster response and applause you have ever seen. Like, these people were so fucking mad.
Yeah.
So I didn't have them on my side immediately. Nope. Powered through. What was funny is that I ended up selling quite a bit of like my pint glasses as the only merch I have left. Mm-hmm. And the people that came up were like, hey, that was tough though. Thanks for being professional. And then I had also made fun of Sycamore Sam from the stage, like quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like quite a lot. Uh-huh. Probably too much. Like he was standing off the side of the stage and it got to the point where I was like, all right, I'm gonna stop going over.
Yeah.
He was so nervous. The way he brought me up was a writer for the Bob and Tom Show all the way from Indianapolis, Illinois.
Oh, okay, good.
You know geography. So to that show, and then just like hanging out. The kitchen, I was gonna wait until I got off stage. The kitchen ran out of food. So I had to drive through Nashville to a gas station to get like a snack to
get your eat victory dinner. Yeah,
get my victory dinner. But I was like, all right, you know how you take those W's, like that was a professional thing I did. I didn't like,
yeah,
I could have just said, been like, fuck this place.
It's the Rocky, it's Rocky one. The victory is that you go the distance, like that you never quit, you put it in. Yeah. But like, and it's one of those things too where like, thank God they had you because a lesser comic, you know, because sometimes these bar shows, they'll book someone to headline who really is more of a feature. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as the amount of time that they have or amount of experience that they have, and they just don't know how to step into that giant flaming pile of shit and start shoveling, which is what you have to do, you know.
So Brian asked me a question after the show I thought it was interesting that I could bring up real quick. Do you think doing those types of rooms, as you know, he's saying like it's older, you would think it's a little bit more conservative. Do you think that makes you a better comic? And my answer was, it depends on what your goal is. Like if you want to punch down, I think it made me a better comic from a earlier age because I only had one speed.
Yeah.
I was like, I got to talk. Like I'm a liberal dude. We're not going to agree on everything, but I think it makes the audience respect you more when you aren't pretending to be somebody else.
Yes, 100%. Absolutely. I think those tough ass shows like that, or to his question, doing rooms that like, if it's specifically to an age thing, right, where he's doing like shows where it's a bunch of older people in the audience, like VFW hall type shows and bar shows or things like that in small towns. You know, the thing is like, I learned this from being on the road with Ralphie, where he would literally call someone out in the front row and address it of like, there'd be like an 80-year-old woman there. And he's like, but man, he's like, did they tell you that I'm a dirty comic? And she's like, no. She's like, but you've lived, you've done some things, right? And that's the thing is like, particularly old people at this point were people that were young in the 60s. Not that everybody was a hippie and a countercultural revolutionary, but like they've all done shit, you know, it's like, so yeah, I think going up, learning how to be funny and authentic in your voice in front of crowds of people that aren't you is clutch, and everyone should do it. Mm-hmm. You know, there is that thing of, and I think he's incredibly funny. I think Paul F. Tompkins is incredibly funny, but Paul F. Tompkins, you know, changed the way that he toured, where he wasn't going to do comedy clubs anymore. He was doing this thing where he's like, if you can sell 100 tickets in your town, I'll come to it.
Yeah.
Right. Do it.
Yep.
Because what he did was more alti and a regular Joe Sixpack, to use that phrase, who just went to the comedy club without looking anything up, was hating it. Right.
Right.
But, you know, not a lot of us have that luxury. You know, that's an easy thing to do once you get famous first.
Right.
But if you are a working comic, going into a room full of people that are not like you and making it work is always going to make you better. And you should try to seek out those opportunities. I mean, I distinctly remember like feeling like my first like sort of like professional, like, holy shit, I'm actually good at this, was featuring for Chris Shaw's album release party at the Sinking Ship, where the only two white people in the building were me and Bowers.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. And it was sold out. And I was still doing all that. Grew up in a trailer park shit, you know, like it was the first hour. And I murdered. I mean, it's shitty to say that about yourself, but I did. I crushed for 30 minutes before Chris in an all black room. And I was like, okay, these jokes are good.
Yeah.
Like I'm talking about being white trash.
Right.
But also all this liberal shit. Like my first time was pretty liberal too. And it was like, all right, these jokes are good. I guess I'm a real ass comic now. I don't have to just be doing to the Bloomington crowd.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
so,
that's
yeah.
It's, you call it battle testing, but you know, you like you could feel the situation, but there wasn't. I knew the show wasn't going to be good. It was just there wasn't panic,
right? Wasn't because you've been in those situations enough before.
I was just like, I'm going to do my set. I got to do my set, and I think it's going to be fine. Like it's not going to be fantastic or great. It's not going to be like something that that recording's never going to see the light of day. unless Sycamore Sam becomes famous, which probably.
Yeah.
He probably will. He asked me after, he's like, hey, me and a friend are starting a podcast, like sort of like Kill Tony, and we'd love for you to be on it. And I'm like,
man, the Kill Tony effect.
Dude.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Man, but, you've had the time and the experience to be able to step into that situation and do it. But I think also your point is very valid. Like, I think this is the real answer to Brian's question is, Brian, just go into every show with the lowest of expectations and and then just be pleasantly surprised when it was okay. Go into every show like, this is going to suck.
Yeah. That's a shout out to the Sycamore Saloon staff. They were awesome. And a lot of the audience was awesome. They said some very nice things and got a couple of followers.
Nice.
A dude bought a pint glass and then sent it to me and was like, sent me the picture of him drinking moonshine out of it.
Nice.
I was like, I got hitters everywhere, baby.
Yeah, there you go.
But let's see. What else? That Friday, I was back in Michigan.
Your favorite.
My fave. It's becoming. I mean, I think they're overcompensating now because the shows are so good. As bad as that show was as good as this show was. I was at the Solarium in Watermark in Stevensonville. Absolutely gorgeous venue. They built this wedding venue in the back of their brewery, and everything's new. It's this really nice event space. They have a, you know, the bar's in a different room than where the show is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's really intentional thought into how this show runs. The stage is really nice. Shout out to Sean Shank. He also had a hand in building and booking the Underground Laugh Lounge that I just did.
So he's also
done this. So shout out to him for like bringing actual professional expectations in comedy to that area, because it's awesome, man.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Brian Petrie featured. He's so funny. I love following Brian because we are both from Indy. He's from Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
But we both kind of have racial based humor, you know, so it's funny to follow him and kind of be like, okay, he talked about hiking or camping, so I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. It's like, just like, so that was a good mental exercise. And
does he also have a white partner? Does he have a white?
No, but I think he's dabbled once or twice.
He's gotten back at his parents a couple times, is what you're saying.
Those Louisiana roots.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's so funny. Shout out to him. And I had a very fun set.
Nice.
And I pulled a Matt Alano Martin where I had my camera set up in a perfect position. Hot show. But just, I set it. The only place, because the show was so packed, only place I could set it was like right at the entrance.
Uh-huh.
So like so many times people are getting up to go to the bathroom. So it's just like a traffic thoroughfare.
Yeah.
Like the entire, like any punchline, it's either people like standing up or so it's not usable
at all. I don't love that this is now called a Matt Alano Martin. I don't love this.
I pulled a Matt Alano Martin and had a hot set that nobody will ever see because it is
of not usable camera... at all. Fucking malfunctioning. Okay. Well, this is my Brian Petrie story, is that Brian Petrie said some wild shit about me on Facebook and I've never met him. I'm aware of who Brian Petrie is. I know he's a comic in Indy. We've never been on a show together. Mm-hmm. And he made some crack about my old man face. And I was like, I sent it to you. I was like, fun fact, I've never met this person. He's just taking shots at my old man beard.
I remember you saying that. Yeah, that feels like a... That feels like a misstep.
Yeah, I was like expected when it's somebody I know, but like, we ain't even ever met, dude.
Like, come on, man. I don't know you.
I'm not famous, right? You don't get to
you don't get to do this.
Like, I'm not Paul Giamatti. You can't make fun of my fucking beard just out of the blue like that. All right. Anyway, so that was your Michigan show. Did you just have the one in Michigan or did you do a couple?
Yeah, just had the one in Michigan. Great hospitality. I think they've heard every bad thing I've said about Michigan and have gone, I don't pay for a damn thing. And when I'm in Michigan anymore, it's wild.
You're now you've negged an entire state into giving you the best possible shows.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And then I did a don't tell at a tattoo shop.
Nice.
Trapdoor Tattoo in Irvington here in Indianapolis. Very fun show. you know, I'm not going to keep saying it, but don't tell shows are really fun to do because they're very little pressure. It's sold out. It's All-Star weekend here in Indianapolis. So, you know, a lot of different people in the city, but yeah, man, it's sold out. A lot of diversity in the crowd, which isn't always the case. It was funny going from like a Nashville, Indiana, older white crowd to like a really fucking hip fucking like.
Yeah,
it was just cool, man. I was like, I don't fit in with either of these groups, but I still got to go do my set. You know,
you're the clown. It's fine. You're the clown.
I'm the clown.
It's,
that's all.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I really enjoy that feeling of going to different rooms and surviving and advancing. That's what this week was. I feel like it, if anything, it just boosts your confidence to walk into any room. And all right, I'm gonna go do my shit and let's see what happens. But
yeah,
it was
when you can
week.
Switch it up like that, it is great when they're that different from one another for sure. It's the best. That being said, I still would take like a 3-day five show at a club weekend. I've been thinking about that, like looking at my schedule. Yeah. I was like, I'm doing a lot of one nighters. I need to start hitting up these clubs again, so I'm not driving every single day. Which was the story of my week. I drove so much this past week, man.
Yeah, man, you're all over the place.
Yeah. So I did the Attic open mic and had a Madelon O'Martin taping experience.
he pulled him himself.
Dropped me in the middle, and I was like, all right, I have a pretty good clip of this 7-minute submission tape, but the audio's not great, right? The audio, even after being fixed, was a little off. And so I went like sixth, started off so hot. And I'm even in my head, I was like, all right, this could be it. I'm not saying it's it, but it's like, my rhythm's good. It's like, it's popping. And then like for the last 2 minutes, it's just like a switch went off. They just stopped laughing. And I do not know why. I don't know if I wasn't, I felt like I was still selling that right or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm just like walk off stage. And I'm like, well, fuck, I didn't get, once again, I did not get this fucking set.
Oh my God. I hate that feeling where you're like, what happened?
Yeah. No rhyme or, now they had been a very tight crowd up until that point. Like Shandy even said, she was like, when you started off, she was like, oh, he's got him. Like he's going to get the tape, because it was very, they were very, very tight the whole show.
Yeah.
Up until that point. And then like a couple of us had pretty, I mean, I still had a pretty good set overall. It just ended not how you want a submission set to end. You don't want it to be a soft coast down, you know? And so for whatever reason that happened. But the rest of the weekend was way better. On Friday, I was at the Main in La Crosse, Wisconsin. My second time doing that place. I love that spot, man. It's such a cool event space. Matt, the owner, is a rad dude. He's also from the music world. So we chop it up quite a bit and kind of just talk shop and stuff from the old days.
Is that the one in the hotel?
No. The Main is its own event space that's on Main Street. And, you know, like they have bands in there and have all kinds of stuff. But basically, when you walk in, you walk past like down a hallway, past a couple of bathrooms and the check-in and everything. And then it's just a big giant room with a pretty large like half moon stage.
Okay.
And they just set it up correctly for comedy. It's all seated and everything. The stage is a little high for comedy because it is more for bands, I guess.
Right.
But it's dope. It's a really rad place. And I almost self-sabotaged because, you know, I went up to the bar and I was just like, hey, what do you have that doesn't have caffeine in it? Right. I'm trying to like not do, coffee is the only caffeine that I'm doing now. I'm not trying to do high fructose corn syrups. Right. So I'm not doing sodas. And I was like, do you have like a sparkling water kind of thing? Like a, you know, like a Liquid Death or something like that. And they were like, well, we got THC colas.
Oh man.
And I was like, oh, cool, I'll have one of those. Because when she said that, I thought in my brain, I processed it as CBD colas, which I'll have from time to time, right?
Right.
I was like, oh, yeah, I like a CBD cola. And then luckily she goes,
oh, no.
Craig, do you want 10 milligrams or 5 milligrams? I was like, oh, wait, shit. Hold on. Nope. I was like, I don't want one of those.
I would
like,
love to see this set.
Yeah, because this is also before I went on, you know? Yeah. And from talking to people, apparently the THC sodas are pretty fast acting. Like, they get you there real quick. And so I was just like, oh, shit, I almost.
I'm sorry. I thought you said RC cola.
Yeah. So luckily I did not do that. And I had a great set. It was my second time there. Funny feature from the Green Bay area named Hayden mm-hmm. Friedrichsen. I did have one of those colas today, but yeah. No, Hayden Friedrichsens. I don't know whatever the fuck his last name is. Anyway, very funny dude. Also, the host was great. Andy was a local guy. So that was just fun. It was good to have a good show top to bottom. But it was like a 9-hour drive to get to La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Yeah, dude.
You know, which I did all the day of the show.
Jesus Christ.
Crashed at the hotel. And then I got up. And got up, ate like the shitty like hotel breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And then I drove like 7 hours from La Crosse to Saugatuck. Lost an hour, right? Because I'm going from central to east.
Jesus.
Chilled in my car for about an hour before the club opened. Because you've been to Saugatuck. There's nothing there.
Not this there's time of year.
Remotely closer. Yeah, everything's shut time. Down because it's fucking super cold, wintry, and mm-hmm. I was even like, who's even coming to these shows in the middle of winter in this resort town?
Yep.
Luckily, everyone. It was a sold-out show.
It's always sold out.
Yeah,
it's nuts.
Crazy. But had a great show. Chicago feature, super fun guy named Adam McShane, who like I had heard the name before and did great. Did it, he had like a really pro set, and I don't think he would mind me saying this because it was really kind of speaks to how good he is. He started off in the biggest hole. Don, the MC, who MCs there every single Saturday, who is a comedy magician, murdered.
Oh,
murdered.
No. Did he really?
10 minutes of fucking destroying with what? His comedy magic tricks and just crushed for 10 minutes. And then Adam gets up there and opens with a joke that is basically fuck the troops. Which I'm sure in Chicago, which is like a lot of like young hip people in their 20s and 30s, like, yeah, fuck the troops. Man, they did not like that in Saugatuck, Michigan.
No.
They did not care for a fuck the troops joke.
Oh, my
and he
God.
Even addressed it afterwards. He's like, all right, that might not have been the right way to start the set. And then he was a pro.
Yeah.
He just settled in and dug himself out. And it took a minute. It took a while before they got on board with him, but then he ended really, really strong. He was doing great, like the last half of his set. But it was just like watching him like acknowledge and be like, all right, here we go. I'm going to have to win you back one joke at a time. And he stayed in his lane. He did a great job. And I had like a super hot set up until the point where I had to yell at the bachelorette party. And then that killed my momentum. There was a 15 top of bachelorette party there. And they were manageable, but as they got more drunk, then they just all their like little separate conversations at the table. There were like three different conversations happening at their table at full volume.
Sure.
And I'm seeing everybody else like looking around at them. Yep. Like, shut the fuck up.
You gotta
so
go
I
for
had
it.
To address it, and I addressed it as nicely as I could, but it did kill all my momentum, even with the rest of the room.
Right.
The rest of the room is like, oh, like I, you know,
oh,
for whatever
dad's
reason,
here.
Yeah, exactly. It made them uncomfortable. I thought we were partying. And then this dude but I even kind of did it like, you know, these people around you drop $15 or $20 or whatever these tickets are. They're trying to have a good time and you guys are talking through the whole show.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, you can talk about, you can say fuck the troops, but don't talk about Ashland on her last day of freedom.
But, you know, but I did get him back and I ended pretty strong. And, but man, there were more like just debilitatingly level drunk people at that show, not just from the bachelorette party. A lot of the bachelorette party was like that, but there was a, you know, a very nice couple.
Mm-hmm.
Like she was straight because she was like, you know, like I'm driving. Like she clearly is not drinking. Her husband was just fucking wasted. And of course, wanted to talk to me at the merch table for a very long time.
Oh, and, God. And not buy anything.
And not buy anything. Exactly. I did sell some things, but not to that guy who is like, tell me how much he loved the show and everything and tell me all this shit about his life. But like, you know, didn't buy anything. And just like gone. Like, I'm pretty sure he won't remember the last couple of hours of that night. Right. Like, that's how wasted he was. And I saw a couple other people the same way, man. It was just like, it was crazy for, you know, sold out. And there's like, what, 100 people or something like that.
Yeah.
It's not the biggest room.
Right.
And I would say like to see 20 to 30 just fucking like concern level, like a level of concern for right. how drunk they are was just like, it was crazy. It was crazy. For
people
sure.
do live like around there. So it's yeah. funny to do like that room in the off season where mm-hmm. all those people come down from yeah. the hills or wherever they live and they just get obliterated. There's like there can't be that many things to do. And like, so that's the night out. That's why it sells out. Sells out during the season because of all the tourists. So it's a very different show.
Vibe. Yeah, very different. Very different
show. But yeah, yeah, it's just it's always like, all right, let's tiptoe into the set.
Mm-hmm.
Not open with fuck the troops. I heard a woman like whisper to her husband during my set, probably like 20 minutes in. The opener was also black, but she goes to her husband, she goes, why is everything got to be about race? Like she whisper yelled it to her husband, who was also black.
So she really just was asking for clarification. She really was just like, honey, can you fill me in on this? Yeah,
I don't like, they gonna talk about anything else.
Just like, God damn it. I have to hear it all the time from you at home. And then we go out and I got to hear it here too. Jeez.
It's supposed to be a night off. So this, what you did was too much driving.
Yes. Oh, and then I drove home from Saugatuck because they don't give you a hotel for that show.
Yes.
They have finally increased the pay to a reasonable pay. I'm not going to say it's good, but it's a reasonable amount for a one-nighter. And then I drove 5 hours home after it. So I drove like 20 hours in the weekend and then was just like a shell of a person on Sunday. Yeah. I went to my family's, Denise's family always has like an annual cookie day where like they come in for it. Like her brother came in from Oklahoma or the brother came up from Florida. Like the family comes in for this big thing where it's all day long making cookies, right? Mm-hmm. And hanging out, family time, right? And I went there for a couple of hours like a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to a friend of the podcast, Jonas Schroet's 40th birthday party.
Nice.
Like a zombie.
Yeah.
And then I just went home. I mean, I was just shot, man. Yeah. I was just like obliterated from all that driving. Yeah.
I pulled a ultimate old man moment and mm-hmm. was going to the show in Michigan on Friday. And I looked, I was like, oh, it's going to snow a little bit. I looked the night before. It's just going to snow a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then I waited so I could have lunch with Megan. I mm-hmm. waited to drive, so it's gonna take off a little later. It started to snow, and I was like, it ain't gonna be nothing. And she's like, is this gonna be okay? And I was like, it's not like it's a blizzard. Like I got real shitty. It's like, I've done this before. I drove up 31 for like an hour going like 35. Mm-hmm. Since one, it was like near rush hour.
Yeah.
Two, I had seen like four cars slide off into the ditch.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to, you can tell they were just going too fast and started to pile up. I think we ended up getting like 8 inches in like just a couple hours.
Yeah.
And I drove the Prius, which I would say, you know, not the most sturdy of vehicles, but I made it. And I called Megan and I was like, that was really stupid. Like I should have just, I don't know.
Left earlier, trusted, tried to beat the storm.
Trusted the weather. Like trusted, like it's so weird. Like when you drive all the time, where you're just like, you have this air of invincibility. Yeah. Even though just went through this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Sure.
I think you were probably far north.
I drove through it on my way to La Crosse that Friday. So from like north of Indy to Chicago was not great.
Yeah.
But I think I was ahead of the worst of it. Mm-hmm. I like caught it as it was just starting to come in, and I still saw a couple people slid off or whatever, but I just went slow, took my time, got mm-hmm. there. You know, I always leave crazy early. Like sometimes I'll just leave a day early if I feel like it. Like we're supposed to have like thunderstorms and shit tomorrow all day long, so I might leave tonight for my shows just to get out of the storm radius,
right?
And then, you know, but I don't know, I haven't decided yet. But yeah, no, I was lucky that I got through it, and it sucked, but not nearly as bad as if I would have waited a couple hours later. It would have been terrible.
Right.
Absolutely terrible. Because once I got to Chicago, it was like smooth sailing.
That's
Chicago
what
and
it's like.
North.
I got to South Bend. It felt like I was in a new country. It was
Exactly.
like,
Yeah. Sunny and nice. And
yeah, I was
yeah,
like, what the hell is happening right now?
it was crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that was my weekend of doing comedy. Again, tons and tons of driving, but good shows and met some cool comics for sure. Where are you going to be at this weekend? Let's talk about these plugs.
Yeah, man. So this comes out February 21st. I will be at Turner's Bar. If you hear this the day of in Indianapolis, I am at Turner's Bar at 8 p.m.
Nice.
That should be a really fun showcase. The 22nd of Thursday, I am at Monic Brewing in Louisville, Kentucky. That show is almost sold out, so go online, dwightsimmons.com, and get tickets. And I'm doing a little corporate thing in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Going south and then going north, back to Michigan. But yeah, I might hit up some homies near Kalamazoo to hang out
Nice.
after the show. But yeah, that's my week. What about yours?
I will be in Atlanta, Georgia, the 22nd and the 23rd,
ETL.
doing a series of shows at the Laughing Skull. If you want to see me do a longer 20-minute set, come to Thursday's show. It's the best of the best, where there's four comics each doing 20 minutes. And I'm one of those, along with friend of the pod, Sally Brooks. And then I can't remember who else was on it. Two other great comics, I'm sure. And then on the 23rd, I'm on the early and late show, which is more showcase style, Best of Atlanta, just doing those 8-minute spots. So looking forward to having good shows and hopefully getting tape, but we'll see. And then on Saturday the 24th, I'll be at the High Cotton Comedy Club at High Cotton Brewing in Memphis, Tennessee. Picked up a little feature set on my way back. Shout out to Charlie Burgos for hooking me up with that and helping with this routing. Appreciate you, brother. So that's where I'll be. Tickets for all of those are up on my website, which is found by just Googling my name, Madelana Martin. That'll get you right there to the website.
Yeah, back and
All right.
busy, baby. Back and busy.
All right. So do we want to tackle the question or your question or the thing that I had came up with, which isn't really a question, but more of just a comedy grievance, I guess, comedy advice on what not to do. Which one do we want to
I always prefer a comedy grievance.
do?
These questions can wait.
Okay.
Let's get
Yes.
into the drama, Matt.
Yeah.
Not really drama, but.
It's not really drama. It's just bad habits of some comedians that a lot of us have been experiencing lately. A comedian friend of mine, we were just catching up and everything, and they were talking about how at a recent open mic they were at, there was a comic who was traveling through, not part of the local scene, but just like traveling through and did the open mic. And Lord Almighty was that comic, super name droppy. From the minute they got to the club in the green room till like they left that night after the post show hang, just nonstop name dropping. And it really colored the way that the comics that were hanging out with that person and had met them for the first time viewed them as a comic, even though they had a good set at the actual show. They're like, yeah, he was funny, but never stopped dropping those names,
Yeah, it's weird.
It's
It's just.
weird, and I think it's got to be a kind of a nervousness thing, particularly if you're a new comic in a scene that's not normally yours, or you're around new comics that you don't know. I'm trying to give them the best benefit of the doubt and just say it's like a type of nervousness of like where they're trying to like prove like, hey, I'm a real comic, but you just do that by going up and having a good set, by being a chill person and go up and murder. That's all you need to do. You don't need the people giving you a resume. I had an experience not that long ago where comic on, that I was on a show with basically kind of cornered me and just gave me their resume. Like not only name dropping comics that they've worked with, but also shows that they've been doing and shows that they have coming up. And it's like, I don't give a fuck. Particularly when I'm trying to get ready for my set.
Yeah,
Like
man. Let me
nobody's looking
ask.
at me. Yeah, exactly. And it's just like both
Yeah.
times, man, it's gonna affect the way that we think of you as a comic.
Do you think it comes out of a place of insecurity, of like,
Yeah, I think
so I have
so.
to prove myself? This is, this is not the best thing for me to say, but like, insecurity always manifests itself in, at least with comics, in a arrogant fashion. You're like, look at all the shit
Usually,
I'm doing because
not always, but usually, yeah.
I've got to show and prove that I deserve to be here. Like you said, it's a form of nervousness, but it's still weird. It's annoying. And honestly, no one cares that much. Like we'll follow you on social media if we want to see all your W's. Like you don't have to tell me everything that's going on. Like, that's nuts. Like, if we were friends and you were excited about it, then that's one thing. But if I'm just now meeting you and you're like, hey, here's my business card, shake my, and then, like you said, you're giving me your one sheet.
Yeah.
What kind of relationship do you expect to have with that person?
Exactly. It's completely different if you know this comic, you've known this comic for a while, and they're like, yeah, man, it's crazy, I just got to open for so-and-so. That's two friends talking, catching up. But again, if it's someone you've never met before, and the first thing out of your mouth is all the shows you've been doing and he's been working at, and here's the thing I think I'll also think about is, sometimes you drop in some names that are going to hurt you more than help you.
Right.
That we're now be like, oh, or because there's a couple versions of this where a comic will drop names of people that are considered to be basically road hacks. Like if someone was talking about how they just opened for me, that's not a good look, man. Don't go telling people about how you just opened for Madelana Martin, man. That's a bad look, you know? But no, seriously, somebody's like dropping all these names and you're just thinking like, well, you're now just telling me how new or like how like little you've done in comedy, right? You're basically telling me you're not passed at real clubs. You're just telling me, you know, it's so sometimes silence is golden. You know, if you just went up there and had a hot set and you hadn't told me all the, you know, mediocre ass shows that you've been doing as if they're big deals, you know, then I would just judge you solely on your comedy. But also, like, sometimes people like name dropping, like, you know, I'll just use this example. This wasn't a name that was dropped, but like, I'm really excited to get to open for Brian Callen. And we're like, okay, do you know about Brian Callen? Do you know what he's been doing? You like, you know.
Yeah, keep that one close to the chest.
Yeah, maybe you just go get that paycheck and then shut the fuck up. Yeah.
Cash your $200 and then just, don't. Just like, it's so awkward already to be in a green room with a bunch of other comics. It's already awkward. Don't make it worse by like adding fuel to the fire of like what will unite a green room faster is if they all have an equal hatred for one person. Then it's no longer awkward, but we hate you together. And we know that as a unit.
Yeah. And again, it's like, as you said, insecurity is probably a better way of saying it than nervousness. It's probably insecurity manifesting itself like that. But, you know, again, all of it just is what you do on stage. Just be funny, be nice, be funny, be out of the way. Right. Like, like just be cool, be chill, and then go destroy that set. And then that's all the impressing that you need to do. That's all you got to do.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
You know, one time I made eye contact with Jim Gaffigan as he was leaving a show that I watched. Yeah. He walked right past me. Didn't acknowledge me. He made eye contact.
But you do tell that story every time you meet a new comic, though. And that's,
I do.
That's important.
I was like, listen.
Just so they know.
Hey. I want you to know where I'm at.
Yeah.
And where you're at.
Yeah, okay? Exactly.
I've been in the same room.
I've looked into those pale blue eyes, baby. You know, like I've been there, you know. Yeah. It's like if me. That is a great comparison. It's like if I told every time I met a comic, I was like, one time I did the Hollywood Improv and accidentally sat next to Dave Chappelle in the back of the room.
The credit.
And he looked over at me like, please don't talk to me. And I was like, we'll not. Yeah. I will not talk to you.
I've got the clip of me on David Letterman's show.
Yeah.
Just ready to go. It's already pulled up.
Yeah. Yeah. I was on Letterman. You in the audience.
You walk in the green room, everyone just leaves immediately. Yeah. Like, oh shit.
That's a good if that's happening to you a lot, comedians, it means that you need to work on it. You need to work on that.
Pull back.
Yeah. Be a little bit more chill.
Save it for social media it's social media is fake. Just save it for social media. Don't be that version of yourself.
Post that photo of you with every single open mic that you're doing listed on your face for that month, you know, just do it, you know, every single unpaid 5-minute set that you're doing. It's all about imagery and call the tour. I'm sorry. I forgot. Also call the tour.
Yeah.
All the open mics that you're doing in your hometown that month.
It has the energy. I was doing a competition in Dayton many years ago and the comic I rode with was not having a good set. It was only like a 5-minute set. About 3.5 minutes in, he goes, man, fuck this. I've headlined this club. The audience is like, what? Why? So it has that type of energy where you're like,
yeah,
so things aren't going well, so I have to compensate in a way that shows that I'm a valid human being.
But also that opens a whole other thing there of like, yeah, if you are headlining a club, why would you go then do their contests?
It was an awkward ride home.
Yeah. You know, and it, yeah. Or like even the same thing, like, yeah, if you are featuring at a club, mm-hmm. don't go do the contest. Yeah. You already passed by the club. They're going to start seeing you again as an amateur. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's the Wild West. I think, you know, money's on the line. People make those decisions. And
I guess. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. Just for the listeners at home, I am now guessing at which comedian was in the chat. And as always, in our fictional Patreon, we will say these names.
I will. The name you typed, I've never been more grateful never to be in the same car as a person.
So I thought that was a stretch. I thought that was a stretch.
God, that would have been exhausting. Nope.
The second name that I typed, I would have been surprised that they were having a bad set because they murder. Yeah. Yeah, sure. All right. So do I get a third guess?
I mean, I don't think you're on the right track, but
All right. let's see. This is fun for the listeners. This they have no idea what's going
great
on.
Great podcast audio.
That's my joke
no.
answer.
No.
My joke guess.
God, no. God, no.
I will tell That's people that fair. One. My joke guest was Brent Terhune. That was my joke guest. The nicest person in comedy.
The nicest person doing contests.
Yeah, and also who always crushes. So, all right, but you're not telling me. You're not playing along. That's okay. All right, I guess maybe we got to wrap up the podcast because Dwight won't tell me who it was.
Wrap us up, Matt. Take us home.
All right. If you would like to send us a question for the podcast or just a topic you'd like us to discuss, you can do that at the Gmail account. That's right. We official, baby. We got that Gmail money. is mattanddwight@gmail.com, mattanddwight@gmail.com. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast. People will tell us here and there that they're into it, that they're enjoying it, and that means a lot. So keep doing that. Keep letting us know that you're digging it via email or rating or review. Tell your friends about it. You can always slide into Dwight's DMs. That seems to be the most popular one. People love to tell Dwight how much they love the podcast and don't say shit to me about it. But that's fine. It's okay.
Well, see, no. What happens is that everyone tells Jim Gaffigan and he lets me know.
Yes, so. Telepathically. Through eye-to-eye contact, he lets you know. Okay.